likely that you won't sound horribly uncomfortable when it comes up. As for the answer itself, try to sum up in a sentence or two why you and your employer were mismatched or otherwise what went wrong, followed by a sentence about what you've learned or do differently now as a result. For example, actually, I was let go. I reported to two different VPs and was getting conflicting instructions from each, and I didn't speak up about it when I should have. I tried to make it all work, which wasn't realistic, and ultimately I dropped some balls. It taught me a lot about needing to speak up early when priorities aren't clear so that that never happens again. I was fired. That's on me. I took a job with a heavy coding component, and I'm not an experienced coder. I thought I'd be able to get up to speed quickly enough, but I underestimated how much I'd need to learn. They made the right call, and I was relieved to be able to go back to focusing on design work. It ended up being a bad fit. They were looking for design expertise when I'm really a copywriter, not a designer. Ultimately, we agreed that it didn't make sense for me to be in that role. 13. Explaining why you want to change jobs when the real reason is that your boss is crazy, but you know you can't say that. I'm normally a huge proponent of being honest in job interviews, since it's the easiest way to make sure that you end up in a job that's actually the right fit for you. If you misrepresent yourself, your experience, or your skills, you can end up in a job that you'll be miserable in or even get fired from. However, why are you leaving your current job and why did you leave your last job are often exceptions to that rule. If the reason you're leaving or left is because of a terribly toxic work culture or horrible coworkers or because your boss was batshit insane. The deal is this. It's totally fine if that's the real reason you're leaving. Interviewers know that terrible jobs, bosses, cultures, and coworkers exist. The problem is that you can't generally say it. On the interviewer side of things, if I hear something like that, I'll certainly allow for the possibility that it's accurate. But because I don't know you, I also have to wonder whether you were the problem. Is your boss really a micromanager? Or do you require a ton of oversight? Were your coworkers truly horrible? Or are you hard to get along with? Were things really as bad as you're saying? Or are you a prima donna who's going to be impossible to please here too? Because I don't know you, I have to wonder if your boss's side of the story might be very different. Plus, frankly, the interviewing convention is simply that you don't badmouth a previous employer, and you demonstrate that you know how to conduct yourself reasonably discreetly in business situations. So where does that leave you? With answers like this. I'm ready to take on a new challenge. I was originally brought in to launch a new training program, and I've spent the last 3 years getting that up and running. We launched about 18 months ago and have already exceeded our sales goals and won an industry award. Now that it's running smoothly, I'm excited to move on to a new project. I've been able to learn a huge amount in my current role and have taken on responsibilities like X and Y, but I'm really interested in moving into Z. And since we're a small team, there's not a lot of room for me to do that in my current role. That's why I'm excited about the job you have open. Of course, these answers work only if you've been in your current job long enough for them to make sense. If you've been there for just, say, 6 months, saying that you're looking for new challenges is going to sound bad. Like you have unrealistic expectations and get bored way too easily. In that case, you generally need to be more frank about what's driving you to look so soon. For example, I was hired to help write healthcare policy because of my past work with Congress, but it's turned out that they really need someone with a more scientific background. That's not me, so I'm looking for something that's a better fit. One of the main reasons I took the job is that I was excited to work with the manager who hired me. However, she left right after I started, and I'm getting the sense that the department is going in a direction that isn't as strong a fit for me. 14. You know that your old manager will probably give you a bad reference. If you know that a previous boss is likely to give you a bad reference, the first thing to do is to figure out how likely it is that the person will be contacted by a reference checker. Many employers will contact only the references you provide, so you might be able to simply leave that person off the list. However, it's possible that a reference checker will ask why that manager isn't on your list, especially if it's the manager from your most recent job, and may specifically ask to be put in touch with the person. If that's the case, don't just connect them without giving some context for what they're likely to hear. For example, I want to be upfront with you that my relationship with Jorge was a difficult one. We didn't see eye to eye on strategy, which is one of the reasons I left. And I think he was looking for a very different type of work than what I do. But I'd be glad to put you in touch with other people from that job who could give you a different perspective on my work there, including the department VP, who I had a great relationship with. If you don't have a VP to offer up, even offering a peer or two can be reassuring to a reference checker. In fact, sometimes the mere offer of others can nudge them to take the bad input with a healthy amount of skepticism. I should tell you in advance that I'm not sure what kind of reference you'll get from Lucy. She had a pretty volatile style, and some days she loved my work and other days she didn't. That was her style with everyone, not just me, and I know she gave some unflattering references to people who were known to have done great work. So I can put you in touch with her, but I'd ask that you take the reference with a heavy grain of salt. I'd be glad to put you in touch with other people who I worked with at that job, though. The biggest key to neutralizing a bad reference is to provide plenty of other references who will speak glowingly of you, so make sure you do that. 15. Employer wants to call your current boss for a reference, but your boss doesn't know you're looking. It's very common to interview without telling your current employer that you're looking for a new job. That's because tipping off your boss that you plan to leave can result in your being pushed out earlier than you intended to go. Normally, the employers who you're interviewing with should understand this and will be sensitive to the fact that you don't want to jeopardize your current job. However, in some cases, you might encounter an employer who pushes to be allowed to contact your current employer anyway. If that happens, here's how to push back. My current employer doesn't know that I'm thinking of leaving, and telling them before I've accepted an offer could jeopardize my job there. I can't risk that, but I'd be happy to supply other references who can tell you about my work. I can't put my current job in jeopardy by letting them know I'm looking before I've accepted another offer, but I can give you plenty of other references, and if this is a sticking point, one option is that we could have any offer be contingent on a good reference from them. But I'd want to work out the offer details first to make sure that we're able to agree on terms before you call them. 16. Your interviewer mentions that she knows your current boss. If you're looking for a new job but haven't told your current boss, which is a completely normal thing to keep to yourself, you're probably going to have a moment of panic if your interviewer reveals that she knows your manager. Is she going to mention your interview to your boss? Wasn't this supposed to be confidential? Don't panic. Calmly and directly explain that your boss doesn't know that you're looking and ask your interviewer to keep your conversation confidential. I haven't mentioned to Jane that I'm talking with you, and I'd prefer to keep my job search confidential for now. Can I ask you to keep our conversation between us? Optional add-on if it's true. Jane is great, but our company tends to push people out quickly if it comes out that they're talking with other companies, so it's important to me to keep this confidential. 17. You know you have flubbed the interview. Walking out of an interview knowing that you flubbed it is a terrible feeling, and it might make you wonder if there's any way to get a do-over or otherwise acknowledge to the interviewer that you know you weren't at your best. For what it's worth, I've talked to a lot of people who thought they flubbed answers and still ended up getting the job. Some questions don't matter nearly as much as others, and sometimes people's self-assessments are just off. But if you're convinced your interview was a disaster, you have a few different options for how to handle it. If you feel you just messed up on a question or two, as opposed to the entire interview, you could send the interviewer a thank you note that reiterates your interest in the job and says something like this. I realized after we spoke that when you asked me about X, I should have said blank. I realized afterward that I'd misunderstood the question and wanted to correct it. If the issue is that the interviewer asked a lot of questions in an area you're not as strong in, you could say something like this in your thank you note. I want to be upfront about the fact that I don't have a lot of experience in X, although I do think my background in Y would be really useful in helping you achieve Z. But keep in mind that if they're really looking for serious experience in X, this may not be a job you'll succeed in, which means it's a job you don't want. If you are just having an off day, didn't sleep the night before, dealing with bad personal news, recovering from illness, or some such, and you're sure it impacted you in ways the interviewer picked up on, you can say something like this. I want to be transparent that I wasn't at my best when we spoke, due to a relatively sleepless night the night before. If we have the chance to talk again, I hope you'll see the difference. But do be sure that the interviewer would have picked up on it before saying this. If not, this can be a surprising note to receive. Will any of this make a difference? Maybe, maybe not. It really depends on the interviewer's assessment, what they care about most and what they're deprioritizing, and what the rest of the candidate pool is like. But it's worth a shot. I threw up on the floor during an interview. A reader writes, I recently had an interview with a company about a position that I was excited about. I was just getting over being sick when I scheduled the interview, so I pushed it back a couple days, just to be safe. On the day of the interview, I still had an intermittent cough, but overall, I felt fine. Toward the end of the interview, which was going well, I ended up having a coughing fit with a deep, dry cough that would not go away. The interviewer got up and showed me to the water cooler and told me to take my time, being very nice about it. However, I ended up coughing so hard and so deep, I threw up on the floor a little bit, right in front of the interviewer. I did not know what to do, so I said something to the effect of, well, that just happened, apologized, and asked where they kept the cleaning supplies. He said not to worry about it, wished me good health, and promptly showed me to the door. Is there any chance of recovery here? Should I call them and apologize? Oh no, this is not your fault at all, but I can only imagine how horrified you were. For what it's worth, only a jerk would hold this against you. People get sick, and they sometimes get sick at inopportune times. I wouldn't call to apologize, but in your post-interview thank you, in addition to building on points covered in the interview, you could also say something like, thank you again for your gracious response when I got ill. That was basically the last thing I'd ever want to happen in an interview. Personally, I would add, at least we now both have an interviewing horror story that can top anyone else's, but that may or may not fit your style. 18. Your interviewer asks you to do free work. It's smart for employers to find ways to see job candidates in action by using tools like writing tests, problem-solving simulations, and short mock projects. As long as these requests don't take a significant amount of time and are only being used for assessment purposes. But it's not cool for an employer to ask you to do something that will require a significant amount of your time, more than an hour or two, or that they might actually use. If an employer asks you to spend more than an hour or two producing real work for them, you're in a tricky position, since if you push back, you risk being taken out of the running. Because of that, this comes down to how comfortable you are with that possibility. One way to look at it is that you wouldn't want to work for a company that's inconsiderate of candidates, or worse, takes advantage of them. But the reality is that not everyone has the luxury of having lots of options. If you do decide to push back, here are some ways to say it. I don't think I'll be able to do this project justice without knowing a lot more. We could talk about doing it as a consulting project if you'd like, but because of other commitments right now, I can't really spend more than an hour or so on an assessment exercise. But I could do, name a much smaller piece of the task, to give you a feel for my work if that would be helpful to you. I don't usually do spec work, but I can definitely send you examples of similar work that I've done in the past. 19. You've had multiple interviews with a company with no end to the process in sight. It's increasingly common for employers to ask candidates to interview more than once before they make a hiring decision. From the employer side of things, I think it's a good trend, because hiring someone after a single one-hour conversation can be risky, especially with more senior jobs. But that should generally mean two or three meetings, not 10. If you find yourself in a long interview process with no indication of when it will end, it's entirely reasonable to say something like this. Can you tell me more about what steps remain in your process and what your likely timeline will be for making a decision? I'm very interested in this position, but it's becoming harder for me to take time off work for additional meetings. Would it be possible for us to consolidate some of the remaining steps? 20. Asking if the employer will cover travel expenses for an out-of-town interview. Some employers cover travel expenses for out-of-town candidates to come in for an interview, and others don't. It also can vary by industry and by the level of position. You're more likely to get expenses covered when interviewing for a senior role. Often employers will mention their travel policy right up front when inviting you to interview, but some don't think to mention it. If you're invited to interview out of state, it's completely fine and normal to ask about expense reimbursement. Say it this way. I'd love to come out for an interview. How do you normally handle travel expenses? If it turns out that the invitation doesn't include travel expenses, you'll need to decide whether you're interested enough in the job and think you're a strong enough candidate to make the expense worth it to you. If you haven't already had a phone interview with this employer, you could ask to do that first, since that stage may reveal a mismatch on either side and save you a needless investment of time and money. You can ask for that this way. I'm very interested in the job and would be willing to cover my own expenses, but would it be possible for us to conduct a phone interview first to make sure that we're a strong match? 21. You realize during a job interview that there's no way you'd take the job. In general, if you realize during an interview that you don't want the job, it still makes sense to stay and finish the interview. Even though you don't want this job, it's possible that the company might have an opening in the future that you will want. So it's to your advantage to finish, make a good impression, and not be remembered as the person who suddenly short-circuited the interview. However, there are some cases where it does make sense to cut things short, such as if you're in the middle of an all-day interview, or if your interviewer is outright abusive. In that case, say something like this. As we're talking, I'm realizing that this probably isn't quite the right fit for me. I really appreciate the time you've spent talking with me, but I don't feel right taking up more of your day. If there's a reason that you're comfortable sharing, ideally you'd include that too. For example, you might say, I'm looking for something more blank, or I hadn't realized the job was so heavily focused on blank, or we're farther apart on salary than I'd realized. That way, they might think of you in the future if they have an opening that would be a better match. But if the reason is, you seem like a horrible jerk, then just stick with the less specific language previously, since there's very little payoff in saying that, other than perhaps extreme gratification in the moment. 22. Asking for your own office, to work from home, or for other perks. Theoretically, you can negotiate anything as part of a job offer. In practice, what you're able to negotiate will depend on how much leverage you have, and that's a function of how much the employer wants to hire you and how in demand your skills are. If you're relatively junior in your career, you won't have much negotiating leverage. But as you become more senior and build your reputation, you'll gain the standing to ask for more. That doesn't mean you'll get it, of course, but it becomes more reasonable to ask. Of course, the reasonable part is key. You need to have a sense of what the norms are in your field and at your level so that you can calibrate the request accordingly. It helps to frame the request as, would you be open to X? Or, I'd like Y because of Z. Is that an option on your end? That way you're being direct about what you want, but you're not demanding it like a crazed prima donna. As part of negotiating the offer, say something like this. Asking about working from home. My current job is very work from home friendly, and I usually work from home a few times a month. Would you be open to my continuing to do that? Sometimes it's easier to negotiate working from home when you explicitly connect it to the salary. I understand you're not able to go up to Y dollars. I'd be willing to accept the job for X dollars if I could work from home one day a week, since there's value to me in cutting back on commuting time. Would that work on your end? Asking about office space. Can you tell me about where I'd be working? Would I be in a private office or a shared space? If the person tells you that it will be a shared space, you can say, would it be possible to have a private office? This type of work often requires concentration, and I found that having a quiet space lets me focus and get more done. Keep in mind that the answer will likely be subject to factors like whether space is even available, and whether it will cause issues with people above you who don't have their own space. But you can pose the question. 23. Answering questions about your salary history when this job would mean a big jump in pay. Ideally, you'd never discuss your current salary or your salary history with prospective employers. Your earnings are none of their business, and they should be able to figure out what to pay for a role without needing your personal financial information. In reality, though, many employers insist on knowing what you've been earning and will sometimes use that information to lower the salary they offer you. If that's the case, the best thing to do is to address it head on. One of the main reasons I'm looking to change jobs is that I know I'm underpaid for the field. I'm leaving in part to get my salary back in line with market rates, meaning X to Y dollars for a job like this one. I accepted my current job knowing that it paid significantly below market because I loved the organization and was excited for the chance to learn a huge amount working with some great mentors. But now I've built up my expertise and I'm ready to move into a new stage of my career, and I'm leaving in part in order to be paid in line with the market. I said something very close to that second one early in my career and doubled my salary as a result. I had been working for a nonprofit that paid very low salaries, which was fine with me at the time because I loved the organization and I loved my work. But when I was interviewing for my next job, it came out that the salary I was asking for was more than double what I'd been making. The interviewer asked me why she should give me such a big increase, and I said something like, "I've loved the work I've been doing, and I was willing to do it for well below market rates because I was so personally invested in the organization, and I was learning a huge amount that I wouldn't have had the chance to learn somewhere else. But now I'm ready to move on from that stage, and part of the reason I'm leaving is because I want to be paid a normal market rate." It worked. 24. Asking what a job pays before embarking on a lengthy hiring process or traveling for an out-of-town interview. Employers like to play coy on salary, and you can sometimes end up going through a multi-step interview process without ever learning what the job pays. But while there's a convention that job candidates shouldn't bring up salary first, which is ridiculous and outdated but still persists, it is more accepted to ask about salary before making a significant investment of time during the hiring process. If you're being asked to travel out of town, take significant time off work, or set up multiple interviews on different days, employers are more likely to understand that you first want to make sure that you're in the same salary ballpark. And really, that's in the employer's interest too. It doesn't make any sense to spend significant time with each other only to find out later that there's no way they could afford you. Here are some ways to say it. "Before you pay for my travel, can we touch base on the salary range for the position so that we can make sure we're in the same ballpark? I hope you don't mind my asking at this stage, but because it's difficult for me to take time off work to interview, are you able to give me a sense of the salary range so that we can make sure we're in the same ballpark before we move forward?" Since it sounds as if your hiring process has a number of steps, which I think is a smart way to hire, could we touch base on the salary range before moving forward so that I'm not taking up your time if we're not in the same ballpark? 25. You haven't heard back from your interviewer. It's common for the hiring process to take far longer than candidates expect it to, and even far longer than employers tell you they'll need. In fact, when interviewers tell you that you'll hear back within a particular time frame, it's smart to mentally double or triple it. But if you're getting antsy and want to know where things stand, and if it's at least a few days past the timeline they gave you, and preferably more like a week past it, it's fine to reach out and ask for an update. "I wanted to check in with you and see if you have an updated timeline for making a decision about the X position." Don't freak out, though, if you don't hear anything back for a while. Many employers won't take the time to get back to candidates until they have something firm to report, an offer or a rejection. And inexplicably, many employers leave people hanging indefinitely, not even bothering to send rejection letters to people who took the time to come in to interview. Because of that, if you don't hear from the employer after you followed up once, the best thing you can do is to put the job out of your mind and move on, and let it be a pleasant surprise if they do get back in touch. 26. Negotiating salary. People often think that negotiating salary means presenting a formal case to justify why they're worth more money than the employer has initially offered. The thing to know about salary negotiation is that most of the time, that's not at all necessary. Often you can get more money just by saying something like this. I'm really excited about this job, but I was hoping the salary would be higher. Would you be able to go up to X dollars? I was hoping you'd be able to go up to X dollars. Is that possible? Do you have any flexibility on the salary? The number I had in mind is X dollars. If you are able to do X dollars, I'd be thrilled to accept. Important. After you say one of these, stop talking. Even if you're nervous or uncomfortable or mentally freaking out about what the hiring manager will say, once you've made the request, stop talking and wait. There might be an awkward pause, and that's okay. Eventually, the hiring manager will speak, and you want to wait for that to happen, because if you keep talking, you may end up undercutting yourself simply to ease the awkwardness of the silence. 27. You realize you wildly overshot the salary range. One of the many reasons that talking about salary with prospective employers is anxiety-producing is that you don't want to undercut yourself by naming a number lower than what the employer would pay. But you also don't want to name a number so high that they decide they can't afford you and take you out of the running when you really would have accepted something lower. Broadly speaking, the best way to avoid this is to do your research on salary beforehand, so that the number you name is rooted in solid knowledge of the market in your field and your geographic area. But if you find yourself in a situation where you realize that the number you named is far outside the employer's budget, and you'd actually be willing to take a lower salary, try one of these. Can you tell me the range you had in mind? I'm interested enough in the role that I'd be willing to be flexible on salary if everything else in the offer is right. I'd be willing to consider that salary level because I'm so excited about the job itself, or because I know it will be necessary to change fields or whatever else applies. I have to be honest, I'm new to the area or field and still refining my information about salary ranges. X dollars isn't prohibitive for me, so I'd love to keep talking if you're still interested. 28. Your interviewer pushes you to accept a job offer on the spot. Good interviewers won't push you to accept a job offer on the spot. They might hope that you will so that they can wrap up the process, but they'll understand that it's a big decision for you to make and that it's perfectly understandable for you to want some time to think it over. If an employer is pushing you for an immediate answer, say this. Thank you so much. I'm really interested in the job. Can I take some time to think it over and figure out if I have any questions and give you an answer by Friday? In most cases, it's reasonable to ask for anywhere from a few days to a week. If you're pressed beyond that, you can simply say, it's a big decision, and while I'm very excited about the job, I want to make sure that I've thought everything over and that I don't have any outstanding questions. Also, note that you generally should not say things like, I'm waiting to hear back from another employer. Employers want to believe they're your first choice. 29. Letting your first choice employer know that you have another offer. If you are interviewing with multiple employers and get an offer from one before your first choice has made a decision, don't panic. If you reach out to your first choice and explain the situation, they may be able to expedite things on their end if they're interested enough. Contact the employer you're most interested in immediately. Don't delay by even a day, and say this. I am extremely interested in the job with you. I know you're still moving through your process, but I've just received an offer from another company, and I need to give them my decision within a week. You're my first choice, and I'd much prefer the job with you, but I'm constricted by their timeline. Is there any chance of hearing back from you with a definite decision by Monday? If they're very interested in you, they'll do what they can to move up their process. Or, if nothing else, they'll at least let you know that they don't expect to be able to make a decision that quickly, and then you can factor that information into how you proceed. 30. Turning down an offer. You got the job, and you've decided you don't want it. Maybe you can't come to terms on salary, or maybe you got an even better offer somewhere else, or maybe you just realized that the job isn't quite the right match for you. If you're stressing about how to turn down the offer, know that people do it all the time. It's a normal part of doing business, and a good employer isn't going to be shocked or outraged. You're just as allowed to turn down an offer as an employer is allowed to turn you down for a job. So just be straightforward. Say, for example, "Thank you so much for the offer. I really appreciate the time you spent talking with me, but after giving it a lot of thought, I'm going to decline the offer. I've realized I want to get back to doing more original research, which I know wouldn't be a focus for this role. But I think you're doing great work, and I hope we might have the chance to talk again sometime in the future. I really appreciate your being straightforward with me about the salary limits. I think we're too far apart on salary, so I'm going to have to decline the offer. But I'm really grateful to have had the chance to get to know your company, and I wish you all the best in the work you're doing." 5 interview turnoffs to avoid. 1, being too early. You probably, hopefully, know you shouldn't be late to an interview. But did you know there's such a thing as being too early? If you show up more than 5 or 10 minutes early, you may annoy your interviewer, who may feel obligated to interrupt what she's doing in order to greet you. Leaving yourself a buffer so that you don't arrive late is good, but if you get to the location early, kill the extra time at a coffee shop or even in your car, rather than walking in more than 10 minutes before your scheduled appointment. 2, underdressing. In the vast majority of industries, you need to wear a suit to a job interview. Even many offices with a business casual dress code still expect candidates to wear a suit. The best approach, though, is to know the norms for interview dress for your own field. And not just your field in general, but your field in your particular geographic area, since the norms for your field in California might be different from its norms in Boston. If you're not sure of the particular norms that might be in play, default to wearing a suit. 3, addressing only one of your interviewers. If you're being interviewed by more than one person at a time, make sure that you're addressing and making eye contact with all of them as you talk. Sometimes candidates address only the person they think is the most important or more senior interviewer, which can come across as quite rude and dismissive. 4, minimizing concerns about your fit for the job. If your interviewer observes that you haven't had experience with a key part of the job, don't dismiss it by claiming that you can learn anything or you're sure it won't be a challenge for you. Good interviewers don't want a sales pitch. They want to see that you have a realistic view of the job's challenges, and they will appreciate an honest conversation about how you'll approach those challenges. 5, being so formal that the interviewer can't get a sense of who you are. Sometimes people get so hung up on the formality of interviews that they become so stiff or reserved that it's impossible to get a real sense of what they'd be like as a coworker day to day, which can leave the interviewer unsure of who they'd really be hiring. You, of course, don't want to treat the interviewer like a close friend whom you've known forever, but you do want to let your personality show. Think of the way you'd conduct yourself in a meeting with a coworker whom you see a few times a month and have a warm relationship with. That's the tone to strive for here. My interviewer keeps asking me to help with her work. A reader writes, "I have a unique skill set within HR, and I have recently been interviewing for a job at a new company. The director who I have interviewed with is clearly underwater and doesn't know how to proceed with the work that I would be doing should they hire me for the position. Since my initial interview, she has scheduled one conference call and sent 2 emails full of questions for me to answer to, quote, help her out, unquote, as she navigates her new role. The conference call was to prep her for a meeting where she wasn't sure what to ask, and I had to provide her with basically an education on international HR deployments and new market entry outside the U.S. The next set of questions was to clarify things she didn't understand from that meeting. Yesterday, she sent me a list of questions because they were trying to set up an international benefits plan, and she had lots of questions about what kind of plan to select, how it should be administered, etc. This puts me in a terrible position because I don't want to seem like I am not a team player or willing to help, but clearly I am not an employee, and they have made no offer, so I feel she is really taking advantage of the situation. I have a second interview coming up, and the recruiter keeps telling me to hang in there. I don't want to keep this up unless I have an offer, but I'm not sure how to step away without jeopardizing this career opportunity. Thoughts? She is indeed taking advantage of the situation, and it's not okay to ask you to help her with her work without compensation. It's true that a strong interview process will include finding ways to see candidates in action, using exercises, simulations, or real-life problems to see what their work is like. But that's not what this is. It's an unethical grab for free help, whether she realizes it or not. To be clear, it's quite possible that she doesn't realize she's doing anything wrong. She needs help, you seem friendly and knowledgeable, and she probably hasn't thought beyond that. That doesn't make it okay, but it might help to think of it as ineptness on her part, rather than anything nefarious. As for how to handle it, you have a few options. One, talk to the recruiter and explain you feel uncomfortable with what you're being asked to do. The recruiter might be able to relay that message in a way that doesn't damage your chances. Don't do this if your recruiter seems ham-fisted, though. She'd need to be able to act with some nuance here. Two, be unavailable to help, rather than refusing outright. Unfortunately, I'm at a seminar, traveling, slammed with work all this week. I know you need timely answers, and I don't want to hold you up. Three, point her to other resources. The XYZ Association website is a great source of information on this stuff. You should find a lot of what you're looking for there. You can do this in combination with suggestion too. Four, frame it as consulting work. This is a pretty involved topic and one that needs more than a 5-minute conversation. Would it make sense to set up a short-term consulting agreement? Be aware, though, that this risks her flouncing off in irritation, thinking, I was just asking for a few minutes of her time, and harming your candidacy as a result. That's entirely unfair, but it happens. Of course, you could also just be direct. I feel uncomfortable helping with this when I'm not yet working for you. But it can be tough to pull that off without causing tension, and you don't want to cause tension in this particular relationship right now. And you have those other options that I gave earlier, so I'd go with one of those. Good luck. Conclusion. What I hope you'll take away from this book is that you can and should speak up when something is bothering you or you're hoping something can be handled differently. Speaking up doesn't have to mean alienating people or causing tension in your relationships. You can be direct without being rude, and you can be assertive without being disagreeable. And in fact, while this is a book about how to have difficult conversations at work, I've heard from many readers over the years that the type of advice we've covered here translates to other realms as well: family, friendships, dating, and significant others. Some of the principles from this book that you can apply in any part of your life are: be direct. Don't expect people to read your mind and then stew when they don't. Do yourself and the other person the favor of speaking up when you're hoping someone will do something differently. Candor, as long as it's mixed with kindness, will usually lead you someplace good. If you've spoken up about something a few times and not seen any change, stop addressing the individual instances, you did X again, and talk about the big picture instead. We've talked a bunch of times about the problems X causes for me, but it keeps happening. How can we handle this differently? Assume goodwill on the part of the other person. You'll generally get much better results if you approach the other person in a collaborative way rather than thinking of the person as your adversary. You can acknowledge that others might see things differently than you do and respect their right to that point of view while still being clear about what you need. Take criticism gracefully, even if you disagree. Even if you mull it over and conclude that the feedback is groundless, it will still help you learn how someone else sees you, and that can be valuable. You can say almost anything if you've established yourself as a kind, considerate, and transparent person. Of course, no one gets this stuff right every time. I certainly don't, as my family, friends, and past coworkers undoubtedly can attest. But if you're clear in your head that this is what you're striving for in your relationships, you're more likely to get the outcomes you want more of the time. Speaking up, respectfully but directly, will help you have a happier, more satisfying, and less stressful life at work and outside it. This is Allison Green. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch-Stealing Bosses, and the Rest of Your Life at Work. This program was directed by Simone Barros, executive producer Dan Musselman. Text copyright 2018 by Allison Green. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.